الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ويل للمطففين الذين إذا اكتالوا على الناس يستوفون وإذا كالوهم أو وزنوهم يخسرون ألا يظن أولئك أنهم مبعوثون ليوم عظيم يوم يقوم الناس لرب العالمين. صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, we remind ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have been blessed with the honor of sitting in a masjid and listening to the teachings of the Holy Quran. Insha'Allah ta'ala, today we will cover the tafsir and the explanation of Surah Al-Mutaffifin. Surah Al-Mutaffifin generally can be categorized into four or five parts. The first part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks with regards to people who commit fraud, generally speaking. In the second part of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people who do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the third part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives some description in Jannah of the people who do believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then finally, in the towards the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes circumstances of both the people of good and the people of bad in the world. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes with some description of the people of Jannah. In Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst them. The very first discussion that we have is with regards to Surah Al-Mutaffifin. In the Quran, in the Mushaf that we read over here, it says Makkiyah, that this surah was revealed in the Meccan period of the life or of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or before Hijrah. However, there is some differences of opinion here. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala he says that the surah was revealed before Hijrah. However, Ibn Abbas, Qatada, Muqatil, Hazrat Madani rahimullah, all of these, they are all of the opinion that actually the surah was revealed after Hijrah. Some ulama of the opinion that the surah was revealed during the time of Hijrah, and other Mufassirin say that the final 8 verses of the surah were revealed in Mecca and the rest of the surah was revealed in Medina. With regards to the reason the surah was revealed, when Rasulullah's hadith of Ibn Majah Sharif and Nasa'i Sharif, the Prophet says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in Madinatul Munawwara, the people of Madinatul Munawwara, they were quite bad when it came to their dealings, their business dealings. And they would cheat in terms of when they used to do trade, they used to give less change or take more, etc. So then this surah was revealed. After that, the people of Madinatul Munawwara stopped doing this and the things were sorted out. So it is actually a very, very relevant message for us, especially in terms of our dealings, if we are involved in any sort of business, or even as a consumer, as a customer, there are many lessons to take from this surah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with guidance. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ, woe to the defrauders. Tatfif is generally is a word that is used when a person cheats in terms of back at the time of Madinatul Munawwara, the business would take, normally was done in measurement and weight. So normally this word is used for that kind of business. However, now the word can be used for all types of defrauding. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you commit five things, then you will be afflicted with five things. The first of these was in a nation when immorality becomes rife. Yeah, nowadays, this is our situation, where we have become a very immoral nation. We have no morals anymore. Yeah, our moral compass keeps changing every single day. What was alright or frowned upon yesterday, today it's done normally. And this is relevant to all types of immoral activities. I remember as a child when I used to, you know, born and bred in this area, and I used to observe that people used to drive past the masjid, you know, and they used to have music, very high, loud music in the car with all the windows down and everything, yeah? But then they used to, as soon as they used to come past, like Besfares or towards Nur Islam, they would immediately put the volume down out of respect for the masjid, yeah? At times, you know, if a person who had a beard and, you know, imama or something, and he went into the shop and there was a female shopkeeper, she'd cover her hair just out of respect. But now, things have changed. Yeah, people drive past the masjid. If anything, they put it even louder. Yeah? Or they look at you like, yeah, you're going to say something to me? Like, I'm not going to say anything to you, but you're driving past the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, so Allah is going to have something to say about it. So, like this, we have become a very immoral nation. The Prophet ﷺ said, when immorality spreads and becomes rife, then it results in diseases spreading, which increases the amount of deaths as well. Nowadays we find that there's all types of diseases, particularly it's mentioned, diseases that have never been heard of before. New diseases come out, you know, COVID, etc. Number two, people who cheat when it comes to business. This includes all type of fraudulent activities. Yeah, we should stay away from fraud. Not only are you cheating yourself, putting bad deeds in your own account, but you are becoming the means of causing a lot of people taklif, yeah, a lot of people difficulty. So when this becomes common, then famine, calamities, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inflict such a ruler upon us who is oppressive. So nowadays we complain that, oh, you know, there's a lot of corruption. The higher up the chain, there's a lot of corruption. This is because of the misdeeds of our own, of our very own misdeeds. People who do not pay the zakah, then Allah will withhold rain from the skies. The fourth one, those who sin, they break the covenant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will enable their enemies to overpower them. We look at the situation in Gaza, in Palestine today, yeah? The answer is right there in our own a'mal. May Allah give us tawfiq. And unless their leaders rule according to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will cause them to have conflict with one another. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us and bless us with goodness. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. In one hadith it's mentioned that whoever commit fraud, their sustenance will become restricted. Sometimes this can actually mean poverty, where they lose all their money. Or sometimes what happens is they have wealth, but they're not able to use it. And this is mainly due to illness. Yeah, we find that so many people, they have millions and billions, but the pain that they're in, the illness that they're in, they can't do anything. They can't, you know, drive expensive cars. They can't travel around the world. They can't do anything with their wealth because Allah has fill them with illness. May Allah protect us and give us good health. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Hazrat Mufti Azam Mufti Muhammad Shafi' Sahib Nawwarullah Marqadahu, he writes a very interesting point. That Hazrat writes that nowadays we find that interest has become very common. Yeah, not just on the higher rope, but nowadays another very typical typical example of interest becoming common is people buying houses on mortgage. This is also includes, this is also a contract which includes interest. It's not permissible, it's not halal. No matter how you dress up the situation, buying a house on mortgage is haram. It's as simple as that. There's no two ways about it. And if anyone says to you that, oh, well, there's a bit of leeway, no, there isn't leeway. And it's as simple as that. There's no leeway to it. It's haram. Like it or not. And this is one thing that I say, is the one thing that you're going to use for all your life. You plan to use it all your life. Or at least for a good number of years. You don't buy a house every other week, yeah? So it's the house. Sometimes, you know, like with regards to food and things, you eat it and then it's digested and then it's gone out of your system, right? So then that haram thing's finished. I'm not saying it's okay to have haram food. But your house is something that you live in every day. So if you're going to buy your house on a haram contract, you're basically, are you going to get a barakat in your house? Are you going to have good marriage? Your children going to be obedient to you? There's going to be no blessings in your house because you've purchased the house on a haram contract. It's as simple as that. People complain and try to make an excuse, oh, halal mortgage is too expensive. Well, get a house on rent. It is what it is. You don't have to buy a house. Buying a house is not a necessity. Having a roof over your head is a necessity. And a roof over your head can be procured by getting a house on rent or borrowing money, private mortgage, etc. Yeah, that's interest-free. This is extremely important. But nowadays, people, without even thinking twice about it, they just get a mortgage. And that is a contract that is not halal at all. It's actually haram. And I don't say, when I ask people, and they say, I got your mortgage. So I say to them, halal mortgage or haram mortgage? And I make a point of saying haram mortgage just to make may Allah, and I am the weak one in here, may Allah protect me as well. I say that first. But this is very important. We should have this culture of understanding that a mortgage is haram, like it or not. Yeah? Don't go around telling me, oh, well, halal ones, they're defrauding people. That's their problem. The option is there for us. Yes, indeed, the halal mortgages, the rates are very, very, very high. Yeah? And they shouldn't do that. That is the reality. But that's their problem between them and Allah. For us, we've got to look after ourselves. We've got to make sure. It doesn't mean that if the halal mortgage is too expensive, then it gives us a license to get a haram mortgage. It doesn't work like that. Yeah? Like it or not, if you got haram mortgage, it's a haram mortgage, you're disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't Allah our sustainer? Yeah? If we have such weak iman that, no, I have to do haram to get a house, then, you know, we've got to really question our faith. Haram mortgage is haram mortgage, like it or not. And it's that one haram thing that you're going to be living in and spending a lot of our time every single day of our lives. Yeah? So let's try to adopt this culture and create this culture within our communities as well, that haram mortgage is haram mortgage, simple as that. And we should try to spread this message to others as well, and those who are in a haram mortgage situation, try their best to come out of it, if possible, pay it off, borrow the money, and you can do, I think they call it large payments. They give you a window to make large payments. Try your best to borrow money and get this off our account of deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. So Hazrat writes that because of interest becoming very common, nowadays we find that doing everything is so difficult. Traveling has become difficult. Yeah, nowadays left, right, center flights are getting cancelled. If you want to build a house, you have to get like all these planning permission and licenses. Before, back in the day, it wasn't like that. You just did what you want. There's a lack of freedom. So Hazrat writes, it's a very deep point. Next, anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. Who are the defrauders? They are the one that when they are taking measure to receive something from people, yastawfoon, they take it in full. Some also say that they take extra. Yeah, so they're defrauding when they're taking. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. And when they are having to give, or the in terms of measure or in terms of weight, they give less. أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. Do they not think that they are going to be resurrected? With regards to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many places in the Holy Quran, has mentioned with regards to doing business properly, giving properly, and taking properly. Rather, the better option is, when giving, we should give more, and when taking, we should take less. Like this, bazahir, apparent is that we have less pounds in our account, but the barakah of Allah will come into our livelihood. Yeah? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. So do they not think that they are going to be resurrected? This is a very similar to the last surah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned with regards to committing oppression and dhulam, that tomorrow your dhulam will, you will be served justice. It's a very similar thing here where, you know, we have in our world today that there's fraud taking place all over the place. Yeah? Fraud, cheating, all of these things, dishonesty in business, etc. So some people, they get caught in the world and they get humiliated and they go to court and everything. But other people get away with it. So there's another warning here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you get away with it in the world, and even if you don't get away with it and you get caught, there's a very high chance as well that when you die, you're going to be stood in front of Allah, and then Allah's going to question you, and then how are you going to get away with it? Yeah? So there's a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that do they not think that, do they not realize that tomorrow they're going to be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Yawmin Azeem, for a great day, for a great, mighty day. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسِ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. On that day, people will stand in front of the Lord of the worlds. They will be stood in the court of Allah, and the court of Allah is such a court that there is not getting away with it. You've got two exits from there. One is to Jannah, one is to Jahannam. So let's try our best to ensure that we always stay within the boundaries of Sharia in terms of our own dealings, our own contracts. We make sure they are interest-free, they are all halal. And likewise, whilst we're doing business, not to cheat people, rather be generous. Allah will give more barakah. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to stay within the boundaries of Sharia and act upon the Sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true love for the Holy Quran and true understanding of the Holy Quran. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.